Amen. Go in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 9 tonight. Acts chapter number 9. Love that song, I Choose to Be a Christian. Amen. And it's not just the decision to accept Christ as our Savior, but the decision each day to live the life of a Christian. Acts chapter number 9. Passage here about the conversion of a man named Saul. And his name is eventually changed to Paul. And one of the most famous characters in the New Testament. We're going to read here just a little bit about this story, see what the Lord has from it for us from it. Start with me in verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. One thing I hoped, if I was living in those days, I could be accused of being found in this way. And as we're just saying about here, that my life, my testimony would be one that people would say, he's in that way, the way of Jesus Christ. He's one of those, and from their perspective, someone who's outside the realms of the law, someone who's outside authority and what they're supposed to be doing, but one of us who would be bold enough to stand for what is right. And I've heard it asked times, you know, it's almost a cliche now, if you were convicted or if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of that as a crime? And that's what Saul was doing in these days, going out. You see in him a passion to do what he thought was the right thing to do. He was a purpose man. He was one that was zealous. Where's Cameron? Is Cameron here? Cameron, we were talking about zealous today in the car on the way home. Just someone who is passionate about the things that he believes in, someone who is going for it. He's purpose, he's dedicated to his task. Unfortunately, his task was in direct opposition to the Lord. We find outside of Christianity many good people who are passionate, who are driven, who are purposed, and some of them can even be an inspiration to us, where we, you know, you learn from their motivation and their self-discipline and their, you know, the principles that they live their life by. So many self-help books can be beneficial to a Christian, but be careful how far we follow man's counsel. We follow God's counsel, and these people, usually the best things they have to offer are from Scripture. They just don't even know it, that they're sharing the principles of Scripture. But Saul was one of those people. I imagine if I was, you know, a dedicated Pharisee, one who followed the law, you'd like to be associated with someone like him. He's a go-getter. He's out actively pursuing. He's not sitting by the side of the road just letting life go by and letting these Christians just run rabid and destroy his beliefs. He's out trying to get them and persecute them and bring them back into subjection to the Jewish law. And verse number 3, of course, he's on this journey seeking Christians. And as he journeys, verse number 3, something miraculous happens to him. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Something different happened that day. I don't know how many times Saul had maybe traveled down this road to Damascus, but I guarantee you, what happens this day had never happened to him before. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The light shined about him. It's interesting here, as it just says, as he journeyed. As I read that, preparing for this message and meditating on these things, I thought, where God finds us. Now, for Saul, it was here on this road to Damascus that God reached out to him and gave him an opportunity to change his life and completely flip around what he was doing. I still believe that God actively pursues people, that God is drawing men to him. Amen? Can you agree with that? Amen? Maybe you can give testimony of how you weren't seeking God until something happened and God injected himself into your life. And some can give testimony of how that's happened, and maybe they've rejected it. But Paul here this day, he is on his way. I don't think he left home that day thinking this is going to be any different than the day before. Maybe he was just really thinking about what was going to happen that day, where he was going to start, what synagogue he was going to start in, how many disciples, maybe he was trying to do math in his head, how many disciples of Jesus might be in the city that day, until he met Jesus. Then his life completely changed. And Christian, although I hope everyone in the room is saved here today, if you're not saved, if Jesus Christ isn't your Savior, today can be the day that you're journeying in the metropolitan, this great area of Walker, and God made a difference in your life. And that can be today that you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and your sins can be forgiven and you can have the promise of a home in heaven. If you've never believed on Jesus Christ, if you've never called out to Him for His salvation, please do it today. Let this be the day where you say, oh, I was just going to church on a Sunday night. It was fall, but it felt like summer. It was a beautiful day. I thought I'd go to church, and man, God changed my life that day. And October 1st, 2023, my life changed forever. I met Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, let today be that day. If you are saved, don't think your moments with Jesus Christ are over. I hope you don't think that I'm saved and that's it. Because God's not done with us. And God's not done with you. I truly believe God still desires to speak with you. He desires to meet with you. He desires to change your life still. It might not be so drastic of a change from someone who's in direct rebellion to God and who is in wickedness and who is sin and then turns their life completely around to pursue the things of righteousness. But God still wants to guide us along this path. God still wants to meet with us. I don't know where God might find you. For Saul here, we're famous, this road to Damascus is a famous place. You think of someone like David, where God met him. He was out in the pasture, tending sheep, where God changed his life. One day he got a call to come up to the house. I'm sure he'd been called to the house many times before that. End of the day, dinner, dad found something you didn't do, and now you're in trouble, get back to the house. But that day, when the spirit of the anointing came upon him, and God called him to be king of Israel, that was a different day. Elisha was out plowing his field one day, just doing his work, trying to get his job done, a grown man out working, until Elijah came by, and God changed his life. Deborah, sitting under her palm tree, she was already serving the Lord. And God says, I got something different for you to do today. Go find Barak. We've got some job to do. And God changed her life. Peter, out fishing on his boat until he met Jesus. And Saul here, traveling down the road. What I want us to think about tonight, it doesn't matter. There's not a specific place. You don't have to be to the altar right here on Sunday night for God to meet with you. Now, you should be in church Sunday night. God wants to meet with us here. But I don't want us to think I have my Christian life, I have my church life, and then I have my outside of church life. They should be the same life. And God should be able to work in my heart outside of church just as much as He can in church. Now, it's easier usually here because hopefully our hearts and minds are already focused on Him. And we're thinking on Him and we're inviting Him into our heart to speak with us. And we're asking Him to make a difference in our lives. And I hope that's what you come to church ready to do. And when we have that time of prayer at the altar before service, that's when you're inviting God, I need to hear from you tonight. God, please speak to me tonight. God, do something in my life tonight. So often these moments happen in church. But how many of you have met with the Lord outside of the doors of the church? Hopefully we live our lives listening for the voice of God, waiting for the moment with earnest expectation. God, please speak to me. God, please guide me. And let's not limit God or put Him out of our minds, out of our hearts, until we enter the church door. But be ready and willing to hear from Him in whatever moment. As the story goes on, this bright light shines around him. In verse number 4, we see what happens to Saul. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, what stands out to me in this verse is that God knew who he was God called him by name. This wasn't a general, just bulk call that all the world should be saved. No, he says, Saul, I see what you're doing. Why are you doing that? Sometimes when God speaks to us, we don't want to hear it because God is pointing out a sin in our life. And what's nicer in those days, sometimes to just pretend I didn't hear anything. I'm convinced. Where's Anna? Anna's in here. Some of my kids. Who else is in here? We got two home six. I think I'm safe. It's only just Anna. All right? Not just only Anna. I love you, Anna, and you're very important to me. All right? But parents, have you ever had this experience where you call out a kid's name and you know they're just there in the next room and you don't get an answer? That ever happened? And then you say it a little louder, and now you are convinced the neighbors can hear it. But somehow your kid in the next room can say, I didn't hear you. Oh, Christian, I worry we walk around like that sometimes. We know God is calling. God is saying, hey, I need your attention. Listen to this. Why are you doing this? He was, oops. And we ignore the voice of God. But it's an encouragement to know that God cares. And at any moment, God could reach out to any one of us. And he knows our name. And he knows where we are. And he knows what we're doing. And not necessarily in a scary way, watch out, God sees it. But in a blessed way, that he knows who I am. He knows my strengths and he knows my weaknesses. And he still can call me by name to do something for him. What an honor that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords even knows my name. And not that he knows it, but he would take the time to call it out and look at me and think, there's something in him I can use. And say, hey, Roy, I've got something for you to do. I hope that matters to us. Verse number 5. Saul responds. One of those questions you think he knew the answer to when he asked it, but and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now this next phrase is important. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I brought something in. I used it in junior church not that long ago. And I had it out front, and the girls were trying to guess what I was preaching on tonight because they saw this. This is a part of a cactus in Mexico. And I was hiking one day. We were climbing this hill alongside the city to go up to a chapel and up on the mountain. And we're just cutting through, and everything in Zacatecas is pokey. Almost every bush you see out there has something. They're not nice. They're not pretty and leafy and full. I love this time of year. I see the colors change. I get to go up to Lake Placid next week with my wife. I'm hoping it's going to be gorgeous. Never been up there in the fall, that I can remember at least. Going to be fantastic. But it wasn't like that, Zacatecas. This is what met me out in the woods. And I broke it off the cactus that day, and I just kept it at the house. It was green then, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen to it. And it dried up nice. It got kind of hard. And it is still, it's pretty pointy on the end still. And as I decided to keep it with me for many years now, it's probably been, I don't know, 8 years since I pulled this off a cactus. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of this verse here. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I got to preach that in junior church a couple months ago to the kids. Do you remember that, junior church kids? Caleb, you were there that day, right? You remember? Man? I hope so. And I pictured this, just right in the side. You would notice that, right? If somebody pricked you with this. Now here in Scripture, the pricks, it's most likely just, you know, a long stick with a pointy end they would use like as an ox goad to to poke the cattle along, and they would kick against it when the cattle didn't like it, when the ox didn't like it and poked to move along or change his direction, he would kick against the pricks. And guess what would happen? You get another prick. Until what? Until you stop kicking and you do the thing you're supposed to do. So this isn't the first movement of God in the life of Saul. He had already felt the pricks. But what did he do up to that point? He's kicking against it. Not me. I'm not changing. God can poke and poke and poke and... But it is hard to kick against the pricks. What does the scripture say about the way of the transgressor? It's hard. Why is my life so hard? Why does nothing ever seem to work out for me? Why does it seem like no matter what I do, how hard I try, things just fall apart? This could be a reason. Are you living holy? Are you acknowledging the work of God in your life? Are you confessing sin? Are you acknowledging the Holy Spirit? Are you changing to fall in line with what God is trying to do in your life? Or do we kick against it and say, why does it... just bothering me. I can't get victory. I can't get over it. I can't. Things just aren't getting any better for me. What's going on? And you're kicking and kicking and kicking, and God is poking and poking and poking. I brought another thing with me today, and it's nothing fancy. It's the flag of France. No, that's a World War II joke. All right, there you go. Do we have anyone from France here tonight who's offended now? I don't think so. All right, we're good. All right. That was our team, camp name this year, and we took first place. I'll have you know, praise the Lord. France won it all. That was not what I think Pastor Crone wanted, but it worked out. Amen. You know what the white flag is a symbol of?
Surrender.
And we think of surrender usually as, I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. I ain't backing down. I'm not going to surrender. But here we're talking about a different kind of surrender. When we take our will, we take our desires, we take our plans, we take our passion and what we want to do, and we surrender it to the Lord. And we stop kicking against the pricks. And we let God have control of our life. And that's what happened with Saul here this day. He waved the white flag. He said, I'm done kicking against the pricks. Look with me at the next verse. Verse number 6. There's a change in heart when you surrender to the Lord versus when you kick against the Lord. Look at his attitude in verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, I love this question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If each of us could just pray that prayer every morning, and at lunch, and before we go to bed, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We can resist, like Saul, as he felt the pricks and he didn't give in until this day. But I'm going to encourage you tonight not to resist. Surrender. Surrender to the Lord. We could run like a famous Bible character named Jonah. God's working in my life. I'm going to try to get as far away from it as I can. I tell you tonight, don't run. Surrender. We could try to quit like Jeremiah wanted to do. Done. Just done with all this. Can't do it anymore. And I tell you tonight, don't quit. Surrender. Surrender your will to the Lord. Verse number 6, let's read it one more time. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, God was faithful to answer. I'm glad that God's will for Saul, and so often I believe in our lives, wasn't just stop it. No, he didn't just tell him, cut out what you're doing. He says, now I have something else for you to do. He gave him a new purpose. Could you imagine someone like Saul who had all this passion and drive and just being told, no, just don't do anything. I'm driven up crazy. God knew who he was dealing with. If he's got all that energy and passion and drive and purpose and dedication to work against the Lord, how much can he do for the Lord when he stops kicking and he surrenders to the Lord's will and he does what God has him to do in his life? And Saul arose. Let's finish out with verse number 6. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Christian, God is still calling. And I believe God is calling some of us here in this room, some of you. And you, like Saul, are resisting. When you feel the poke, the prick of the Holy Ghost, we want to ignore it. We want to resist it. We want to set it aside. We want to anything but that. And our hearts slowly get harder. And our hearts get calloused. And we plug our ears to the movement of God in our lives. And pretty soon it's not long to say, God just doesn't speak to me. Because you just have ignored it for so long. Some of you are on the run from God. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what God's asking you to do. And I'm just going to keep going. Just if I just keep busy and I keep moving, I can just kind of, this will pass. And I'm telling you tonight, don't run. Surrender. And sadly, I fear there's some who are just about to quit. Who were at the point just to say, I'm done. Just done. Sometimes it's by being bruised by the world. We've been deceived by its lies and empty promises that it has, and you think, I'm done. Some of us are maybe just worn out by sacrifice and service to the Lord. You might feel wounded by other Christians, or even you feel wounded that God has somehow wronged you. And your flesh and the devil are whispering in your ear, just quit, just be done. Because the place of God, the church house, the fellowship of Christians that should be a place of hope and joy and a place of comfort and relief just might feel empty and hollow. And I come because I'm supposed to, and I leave, and nothing's different. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's not the fault of the church. That's not the fault of the Word of God. And that's not the fault of what's being preached from behind the pulpit. It's not. And you can convince yourself that it is. And I just don't get fed, and I don't know what's... You know what's going on? You haven't surrendered. You haven't surrendered. The answer to all these things is to draw nigh to God. Amen. It's to take out the white flag to yourself and say, I'm done living for myself. I'm done living for my own will. I'm done living for my own pleasure. I'm done living for whatever the world tells me I'm supposed to be living for. I'm going to put myself at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to lay down at his feet, and I'm going to cry out to him, and I'm going to share with him my burdens and my hurts and my cares and my worries and my sins, and I'm going to anoint his feet with my tears as I lay there, and I'm going to say it is all his. And I'll lift up my eyes, and my prayer will be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I guarantee if you spend time at the feet of Jesus, you will get up a different person. But how long has it been? since you put your will aside. And you spent time with the Lord. And you poured out your heart. When was the last time you prayed and tears streamed down your face? Not because of the need of another, but just at your own broken condition. And putting yourself before the majesty and the holiness of God and saying, what in the world am I even doing here? Thank you, God, for your goodness to me. I'll do anything you ask me. Because you are a great and holy and mighty God. And I am nothing before you. What will you have me to do? Help me, Father, to surrender, to give up my will. I trust my Heavenly Father. And when I feel hurt or wounded or exhausted or out of place, you know what I know the problem is? It's not with God. So I've taken control of my life again. And it's leading me where it always leads me. To emptiness, to hurt, to discouragement. Even if I'm active in the things of God, if I do it in my own will and I'm doing it for my own purposes, I'm going to find myself empty. We're memorizing a verse in our Sunday school class. I wrote it here out of Matthew just to confuse everyone. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'm hurt. I'm ready to run. I'm sick of the pricks. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm ready to quit. You know what the answer is? Give up. Surrender. Give your life over to God. Give the cares over to God. Give the sin over to God. Give the discouragement over to God. Give the hurt over to God. Give the selfishness over to God. Say, God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We're going to have the altar open tonight. When was the last time you told God it's all yours? Say, I've done that. Well, when was that? You know how quick your flesh takes back control? Somewhere between amen and there's the door. Amen. Not enough to give your life to God once. Do it again. Be honest with Him. Open up your heart to God. I plead with you earnestly. Spend some time in prayer, even if it's not here tonight. Dedicate some time in prayer to just put yourself there before God. Open up your heart to Him. Don't pray some list of requests. Don't say in the same generic, I thank you for this and for this and for this. Really open yourself up to the Lord. Because God sees into your heart already. He's already there, pricking, trying not to hurt you, but to draw you back to Him. If you'll just surrender. Say, Lord, take my life and let it be. If we sing, all is my all on the altar, we sing, I surrender all. We need to live those things. As Mrs. Huber comes to the piano to play tonight, I invite you to come and pray. Every single person in this room could pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Can you pray that tonight? Honest and truthfully before God, can you surrender? As the piano plays, if God spoke to your heart, would you come? Yeah.